Thank you for joining us on InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Ortiz. It is Monday, October the 1st of 2012, and here's what we have in store for you tonight.
Tonight, just in time for Cybersecurity Awareness Month, a wave of false flag cyber attacks strike the United States as government officials blame Muslim hacktivists for targeting U.S. banks and claim Chinese hackers broke into the U.S. military network in charge of the president's nuclear football. Then, the TSA confiscates a man's camera and deletes the footage he shot of the checkpoint. Plus, the untold story behind the Fast and Furious scandal, and why are the elites buying fallout shelters at a record pace? Alex Jones gets the answers from Ron Hubbard. That's up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, the Attorney General's Operation Fast and Furious program continues to receive international media attention. That's because recently the Hispanic media outlet Univision unleashed a bombshell investigative report that alleges an additional 57 unreported firearms were bought by straw purchasers monitored by ATF during Operation Fast and Furious, and then recovered in Mexico in sites related to murders, kidnappings, and at least one other massacre. According to the investigative piece, here's what occurred at one mass killing event. On January 30th, 2010, a commando of at least 20 hitmen parked themselves outside a birthday party of high school and college students in the city of Juarez. Near midnight, the assassins, later identified as hired guns for the Mexican cartel La Línea, broke into a one-story house and opened fire on a gathering of nearly 60 teenagers. Outside, lookouts gunned down a screaming neighbor and several students who had managed to escape. 14 young men and women were killed, and 12 more were wounded before the hitmen finally fled. According to the investigative piece, Univision's investigative piece, there was another mass killing event in which 18 young men were killed at a rehabilitation center in the city of Juarez as well. So obviously, the Fast and Furious operation continues to draw attention from the international media, while here in the U.S., they continue to sweep it completely under the rug. President Obama rarely, if ever, is questioned on the matter by American media outlets, and a recent report exonerates Eric Holder for what he did. We hope that, obviously, this puts him back in the hot seat, these recent findings. The federal government is saying, the attorney general is saying that they did this to try to crack down on Mexican cartels. However, many critics, myself included, are saying that this was done to try to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. Obviously, had this gone well and there were no whistleblowers, the U.S. government could have said, you see, we found AK-47s here in Mexico. AK-47s are evil, so we're going to have to ban AK-47s here in the United States. Thank God for whistleblowers. On some perverted fashion, this actually helped the average U.S. citizen, in my opinion, because it's going to be a lot harder for them to crack down on our Second Amendment rights as a result of what occurred. However, what happened is truly, truly sad. Many teenagers were killed, and in my estimation, the Attorney General's office has a lot of blood in its hands. Also, if they wanted to stop the drug trade or reduce gang violence significantly there on the border, they could have legalized marijuana. Most of the narcotics that are being shipped here to the United States are marijuana, and you would reduce marijuana, you would reduce casualty rates by at least 70%, in my estimation, had the U.S. government simply, had the U.S. government just legalized marijuana. So this has nothing to do with drug cartels and everything to do with the U.S. government trying to infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. So it's a very, very sad turn of events, and we will see what unfolds in future weeks. In other news, this month, the federal government is marking Cybersecurity Week, Cybersecurity Month, and a report by the Washington Free Beacon is saying that The Chinese government is trying to hack our cyber infrastructure. According to the report, hackers linked to China's government broke into one of the U.S. government's most sensitive computer networks, breaching a system used by the White House military office for nuclear commands, according to defense and intelligence officials familiar with the incident. One official said the cyber breach was one of Beijing's most brazen cyber attacks against the United States and highlights a failure of the Obama administration to press China on its persistent cyber attacks. Now, we don't know if China was trying to do this or not. It seems extremely odd that the Chinese government would try to do this when the U.S. is a superpower and when we owe them a lot of money. And obviously, this would be an attack of aggression if they were to do this. This would be an act of war if they were, in fact, trying to do this. So this is what our U.S. officials are claiming has occurred. However, sadly, they can't be trusted because, as we reported in previous weeks, independent sources, software company Kaspersky and Symantec said that the U.S. government was trying to infiltrate the Lebanese government and the Iranian government's networks. So here you have the United States saying that we need to pass cyber legislation because another government could do this to us. And yet you've got the company Kaspersky and Symantec saying that the U.S. government tried to penetrate the Iranian government and the Lebanese government's cyber network. So there's great hypocrisy. But more than anything, this is being done, in my estimation, to get cyber legislation bills passed so that ultimately the internet could be regulated. In another article posted today on Infowars.com by Eric Blair, the headline reads, "Cyber attack on U.S. banks is an obvious false flag." This is all occurring at one time. First, they're saying China tried to infiltrate our networks. Now there's a lot of media outlets, including ABC, that are saying we have to watch our cyber networks because Al-Qaeda could infiltrate our banking system. So they're trying to scare us with our finances. This is all an attempt to ultimately regulate the internet. So you could expect to see these reports continuing to come out, these false flag threats that are occurring. President Obama has tried to go through Congress to get cyber legislation passed, but he has failed repeatedly. And that's because the American people do not want the internet to be regulated. However, President Obama has stated he will use executive orders to try to regulate the internet as best he can. So again, this is just a false flag attack to try to regulate the internet because ultimately the globalists want to create a kill switch, in my estimation, so that they can ultimately shut off the internet at will, so that they could basically control the media. They want to create a kill switch that they can control the media. So we have to keep an eye on these false flag accusations, these false flag threats. In other news, speaking of tyranny, let's talk a little bit about the TSA. Today, Paul Joseph Watson posted an article on Infowars.com titled "TSA Rescinds Approval to Film in Response to Opt-Out Campaign." The TSA has reacted to a national campaign encouraging people to opt out and film TSA procedures by removing a page on its website which admitted that recording security checkpoints is not prohibited. Basically, they've yanked it off their site. This coincides, they've obviously known about our outreach campaign that we're doing in late November. It's called the Opt Out and Film Week. That's taking place on November the 19th to November the 26th, Thanksgiving weekend, where we're encouraging listeners, we're encouraging viewers to film TSA officials and to keep them accountable. You're on public grounds, you're on you are not on private property. You are on taxpayer-funded property. These are public servants, and you have every right in the world to film these individuals. So Paul Joseph Watson is insinuating that this took place because of our opt-out program and our film program, Film the TSA. And so they're doing everything they can to prevent us from doing this. So we encourage people, I'm going to be doing it that week, to go to your local airport. You don't have to have an airport ticket. Obviously, when you check somebody out, a family member, and they're traveling, you could still enter the airport. You don't have to be traveling. So bring your camera, film these public servants, and let's see what occurs. But there was recently a film, and it was posted on Infowars.com today, of an individual in Puerto Rico who was filming the TSA, and they basically harassed him for about 10 minutes for filming. After 10 minutes, they took his camera. He told them, give me my camera back. I'm going to call the police. They finally realized that what they were doing was unlawful, but they did erase most of the confrontation before they gave him back the camera, but he still was able to keep about 11 seconds of the confrontation, and we're going to go to that video right now.
Oh, hey, you can.
Really? I can't? Wait, don't touch.
You can.
I can touch.
So there you go, like godlike creatures, they tell you, do not film them. They're godlike creatures. You're not allowed to film them. A complete violation of people's First Amendment. Again, these are public servants. Your salary, your tax dollars pay for their salary. That's like an employer walking into his business and his employees say, what are you doing? Don't question me. These people work for you. So we encourage you on November the 19th through the 26th, just take a little camera. You don't have to have a plane ticket. You don't have to be going anywhere. And just film the TSA. And by the way, try wearing some of those TSA t-shirts that we have on InfoWarsShop.com. We have shirts that say, end the TSA, TSA groping since 2001. It's okay. You can politely mock them. You know, you don't have to be afraid of them. These are public servants and they work for us. And there you go. You've got some TSA shirts right there that we've got on InfoWarsShop.com. End the TSA. TSA groping since 2001. That's a popular one here at the studio. So feel free to get one of those shirts when you go film these individuals. Again, you're doing nothing wrong. Courts have said that it's completely lawful to videotape these individuals as long as you obviously don't go into the terminal and pass the security point. And that'll be a great thing to do. I'll be doing that come late November. And this also comes on the heels of another video that we showed last week of TSA officials telling visitors at airports to stop on command, almost like a lapdog. And they would just tell people to stop. And here's video on InfoWars.com of the godlike creatures, the TSA, telling members of the public to freeze on command, like golden retrievers. And look at what the sheep will do. Some of them very nice people. They don't want to create a ruckus. Other people just in a complete trance-like state, just doing whatever the TSA officials tell them. There you go. You're allowed to move. God has given you authority to move. And they, you know, people just follow them. So there you go. Let's keep an eye on the TSA. And speaking of the tyranny that the TSA partakes in. In other news, this was also on InfoWars.com, TSA hired defrocked Camden priest without a background check. According to this article, the TSA hired the former priest before completing a background check, the agency recently confirmed. According to a church document, the diocese revealed to the TSA in 2003 as part of the background check that Harkins, his name is Thomas Harkins, had been removed from ministry because of allegations he had molested two grade school girls. Harkins was never criminally prosecuted, but the diocese settled civil lawsuits for $195,000. So there you go. That's who you have there. And from what the article says, it says that he's received promotions. He's received promotions, and he should. He should. That's what, you know, if you like groping people and touching people's genitals, you're TSA material. You're TSA material. So that what Thomas Harkin has received promotions, and I think his salary is up to about $76,000. So there you go. That's who's protecting you. And another TSA news, ABC recently reported that an individual by the name of Pythias Brown, he's a convicted TSA officer, reveals secrets of thefts at airports. According to Mr. Pythias Brown, he says it was very commonplace, very commonplace. He's a former TSA officer at Newark's Liberty International Airport in New Jersey. He was a former TSA officer. He admits he stole more than $800,000 worth of items from luggage and security checkpoints over a four-year period. Mr. Brown says, quote, it was very convenient to steal, and the only reason why he got caught is because he put a camera on eBay, and it had the CNN sticker on it. He stole a CNN camera. And it had the CNN sticker on it. But he says $800,000, that's just what he got caught with. He probably stole well over $1 million. Now, the TSA is saying that only about 1% of their representatives has been prosecuted for theft. But again, that's only people who have been prosecuted against. According to Mr. Brown, he says, again, it was very convenient and common to steal. Alex has talked about on his radio show how they stole some of his kid items, some of the items of his kid. I think a toothing ring, if that's what you call it, a very expensive Tiffany rattle. And so this is a very common practice. TSA is saying only about 1% of their individuals do this. But if only 1% could steal millions of dollars worth of items, that is a very, very serious issue. So again, participate in our outreach effort that we're doing in late November to out these individuals. Not all TSA people are bad people. As a matter of fact, most of them are probably good people, but there is a large minority of them that just they get off on groping people. So there you go. And in other news, we're going to go over to the Eurozone, over to Europe, and see what's going on there. Sadly, the economic situation continues to get worse and worse. It is a very sad turn of events. And according to an article, you see right there, you've got the unemployment levels in the European Union there. 25% unemployment in Spain, about 24% in Greece, all of them except Germany are over 5%. I can't really explain why Germany would be all the way down to 5.5%. I assume because most of the banks are in Germany and they control the money supply, the European Union's money supply. But you see there, more than half, according to the article by the London Telegraph, it shows that more than half of those under 25 years of age living in Spain are now unemployed with a rate of 53% as of August. The latest figures in Greece for this same group says that 55% of young people are out of work. So the economy is, it's not slipping out of control. It is out of control. There are reports that we saw last week in the news of Spanish residents literally going through trash cans to try to get food. And in Greece, as Gerald Celente says, the only reason why this isn't receiving more media attention is because they now have food stamps. Before, countries had bread lines. So obviously, visually, that was very compelling. But now, because of food stamps, things don't look nearly as bad, although they are very, very bad in the Eurozone. So we wish the people in those countries the best of luck. It's a sad turn of events what the bankers have done to them and what they're doing to us. In other news, the UK Daily Mail says that British workers are the most depressed in Europe, as one in four is diagnosed with illness. According to the study, British workers are the most likely to be diagnosed with depression in Europe. A survey has found the worrying extent of the illness in the UK was laid bare by the poll that revealed 26% of Britons had received the diagnosis from their general physicians, compared with 12% of Italians. So there you go. You've got 26% of Britons saying that they are clinically depressed. Now, this isn't a poll. This isn't, are you feeling hopeless about the economy, like a Gallup poll where they're asking, you know, are you optimistic about the economy? This is, they're calling people, and 26% of Britons are saying, I am clinically depressed. My doctor has deemed me clinically depressed. How many more people on top of that are just severely depressed, but they just haven't been clinically diagnosed? And obviously, even in Italy, it's about 12% are clinically depressed. So this is an unintended consequence of the unemployment situation. You're not just going to have people, you know, rummaging through garbage cans to try to get food. Sadly, you're going to have people committing suicide. You're going to have people who are just clinically depressed. And violence will increase significantly. You're now seeing violence in the inner city, murders taking place over $30, $50. People just want to eat. Today on Alex's radio show, Max Kaiser says the threshold is usually about 40%. When about 40% of your net income goes towards food, that's when riots begin, and they've surpassed that threshold in many European countries. We're still not close to that threshold here in the United States, but as inflation continues to grow, you could expect depression rates to increase, suicide rates to increase, murder rates to increase. So that's all for the news, and we're now going to go to the daily quote. And it's from none other than Mikhail Gorbachev. Quote, more socialism means more democracy, openness, and collectivism in everyday life. End quote. So there you go, Mikhail Gorbachev trying to con the public and saying that socialism is compassionate and that on some level it's good for a democratic society. You see the liberal left pushing that lie as well, trying to con the public and saying that socialism is very democratic. You should absolutely pay 60% in taxes. Yeah, sure, no problem. So that's Mikhail Gorbachev. And remember, if you want to continue to help this operation, be sure to subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv. It's less than $6 a month. You'll get access to a lot of programming, films in HD. You'll be able to see Alex's radio show live. You'll be able to see the nightly newscast in its entirety. And there are many, many more features. Also, you can go to InfoWarsShop.com as well. To shop, you can get some DVDs, and there you see the upcoming InfoWars newspaper. We were talking earlier about cyber legislation that's trying to be created so that the government can create a kill switch, so that ultimately they can dictate what news media the public gets to read. And we here at InfoWars, Alex has started his newspaper. This is the October edition over here, and this is print isn't dead. Journalism is dead. These have been selling out very, very well. They've been selling out. It's a great way to, attack the globalists, even if there is a kill switch. So become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. Get your monthly InfoWars paper, and we'll be right back. Alex is going to have an Ask Alex segment, and also he's going to be conducting an interview with Ronald Hubbard. They're going to be talking about underground bunkers, which the elite are investing in. So stay tuned for those hard-hitting segments.
Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the InfoWar because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of the September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new technocratic elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important we get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies, part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide.
Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs, at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
Welcome back to this October 1st, 2012 edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I'm Alex Jones. Hard to believe that 2012 is very long in the tooth. Some people think the end of the world is coming. What is it, December 21st? Well, I don't have my bags packed to fly up to Hell Bop. Ladies and gentlemen, I think most of us are still going to be here after the Mayan prophecy comes and goes. But World War III, global meltdown, that stuff's in the cards, and that's why coming up after the popular Ask Alex segment with Christy Hightower for PlanetInfoWars.com, we're going to be talking to the premier. I mean, he's got shows on Discovery Channel, History, you name it, Decoded, the list goes on and on, Storage Wars. We're going to be talking to the owner of Atlas Survival Shelters. I'm quite frankly looking into these just for tornadoes and a bunch of other issues, and I thought, this guy's pretty darn interesting on the phone, because... So I'll just get him on as a guest, and we're going to pick his brain about what type of folks are buying shelters. He's told me off air, but we'll see if he'll talk about it on air. That is coming up after, well, this usually turns into a lengthy segment, so I'll try to keep my questions down to a minimum. Christy Hightower, again, with PlanetInfoWars.com and the popular Ask Alex group there. She joins us here in studio. Christy, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's always intimidating to be in the studio.
Why do you say that?
It's just, you know.
You said that during the break.
Yeah, it's true. It's all the lights and there's, you know, the round table and you're sitting here.
You know, it's funny. You came to work here, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago or whatever it is, to kind of moderate and help with the social networks. You've done a great job. And then I said, hey, you're going on TV.
Yeah.
Here we go. Everybody's on TV around here.
Everybody loves these questions. Like, everyone loves sending you questions. So this is popular only because they're great questions. So let's start it off. Planet Infor's user, on my feet, not on my knees, which I thought you'd have respect for there. It says, I'm awake, but my wife is not. I know she loves me, and I'm wanting to do anything to save our marriage, but my question is, did your wife awaken you? And also, if a partner does not awaken, how do you wake somebody up you can't live without?
Wow, yeah. That is a super-duper question. Look, it comes down to this. Don't be angry at your wife or husband if they are not awake to the fact that the world is in a very dangerous cycle right now. No one can deny that who's informed, but don't be mad at them because deep down it's scary to them what's going on. They don't want to admit it to themselves. That's the most common reason. There's others. Save the marriage. Well, my God, as long as you love each other, and as long as she's, you know, told about some of this information, as she sees things unfold, unfortunately, we wish we were wrong. Yeah. She will begin to wake up more. But I can tell it's probably a new listener because I've told this story before on air quite a few times. My wife was not into all this stuff. Now, when she was my girlfriend 14, 15 years ago, almost 15 years, man, I'm getting old. Because we were dating about 3 or 4 years before we got married and then started having children. And it's been great. She was informed and she knew about government corruption and stuff, but she's like, come on, you know, Right. The government did Oklahoma City. Come on, all this, and then she'd already worked in PR and TV and stuff, and so I said, hey, I'm running InfoWars.com, I got a guy who helps me part-time posting stories, you're good at computer stuff, will you quit your job at the local TV station in PR and come into business with me, I said, and move in with me.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's how that happened. I said, yes.
We're getting all the juicy gossip.
You're getting all the juicy gossip. Now, notice how it happened. And I said, and just, I'll tell you what to post on the website, do that, and I'll tell you who I want to get as guest, you know, be my producer. And she said, yeah, I don't like this job, you know, whatever. She was kind of sick of that job with the TV station. So she came to work for me. And within like 6 months, she's like, it's worse than you said.
Wow.
And I think that's what I found with a lot of crew members. I hire people here who aren't even into the, you know, reality stuff. They're kind of, but they automatically start seeing, hey, he's not making this stuff up. You can vary on the interpretation of things.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to tell the truth. Doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. And we're teleprompter free, so some of that happens. But we are for reality purposes only. We are for liberty purposes only. We are for freedom purposes only. We're not for entertainment purposes only, as some people like to say. So don't get mad at your family. Salesmen will tell you. It is harder to sell your family. It is hard to sell your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's harder to sell people that know you, you know, a snow cone in hell, or, you know, a nice warm blanket to an Eskimo, if you're family.
Yeah.
It's easier to sell strangers because family thinks you're showing off to them. Mm. Family thinks you're, you know, there's a weird dynamic. A prophet's not known in their own country. So I said these would be short answers.
Yeah,
but,
no,
kind of
great.
A long one right
these
there.
Great.
No, but now I'll recite the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yes, please. Ready, you go. All right. This next one comes to you from Glenn, and he says, Alex, isn't the charter for the Federal Reserve up in 2013? Can we, the people, tell them to take a hike? What's the deal?
Well, we can do that anytime we want because Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress represents we, the people. People, you know, they say Romans 13, do what government says. But we are the government. It's government for, by the people.
Right.
We're on top, not governments up here, and then we're, you know, their authorities, and we're civilians. All this military occupation terminology they use by design.
Right.
And so, you know, elaborating, what was the question again? I started thinking about systems of government.
The Federal Reserve.
Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Really, the charter's already been continued. But it is symbolically the 100-year anniversary, so we should get rid of it.
Yeah. Do you think that's a possibility?
Yeah. In fact, we aired an In the Fed piece last week.
Yeah.
And the crew is out there, you know, fighting hard, you know, to expose that. I mean, just 10, 15 years ago, Ron Paul couldn't get a sponsor to audit the Fed. And now audit the Fed is, you know, all the rage. So people are getting past the puppets and identifying the real power structure.
It's awesome. Then Sean asked, he says, this is a long one, so just brace yourself. Alex, could you go into more coverage of the psychiatry as a tool that the globalist elite use? It's always been a tool of global government, and the biggest danger, the psychiatric false procedures and methods are now being warming their way into regular medical procedures for diagnosis, hospital admissions, etc. The result, it is getting incredibly easy for a person to be committed or placed on dangerous drugs.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of where he stops, and then he asks you, you know, what are your thoughts? You know, like, what, explain it, you know, how is it used? Like, is there some kind of way to, I guess, manipulate it so it's not, so people can't.
Well, I mean, here's what's happening. Psychiatry comes out of Germany about 200 years ago, and then out of England.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't make any bones about it. This is in mainline history. It was corrupt oligarchies, corrupt royal families that said, we got people rebelling who don't want to be slaves.
Mm-hmm.
They were still slaves in Germany, in places like Prussia. They were war slaves,
mm-hmm.
war soldiers. And nobody ever talks about that. And they were so brainwashed, you know, with esprit de corps, they were happy to be raised as soldiers and then go off and die.
Right.
But it wasn't called slavery. It was indentured servitude. But they were slaves, war slaves. They were used against us in 1776 through that six-year war. So psychiatry in the Soviet Union, in Nazi Germany, in every authoritarian system, they just say, oh, you're crazy. It's like witch burning. And there's no judge, there's no jury, there's no due process. You just disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're doing that with the veterans of post-traumatic stress disorder. When you go in to see the doctor, it's like, how's things going? Got enough money at home? They don't tell you, oh, we're going to send CPS to take your kids because you said, oh, we're living with our parents now.
Mm.
You know, because, oh, it's bad, you know, because the family's a disease. The family's a tyranny. Like,
doesn't that violate doctor-patient confidentiality? I mean,
well, but see, they're agents of the state. See?
Yeah.
And a lot of doctors are common sense and aren't little control freak demons, but a lot of them are on this power trip now. And psychiatry is coming out with hundreds of new designations, dozens of them, you know, that say not trusting government's mentally ill. Well, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, they're mentally ill.
Right.
And so it is a tool of authoritarianism now where you're being surveilled when you go to the hospital. You're being targeted. When we had three children at the hospital, you know, the nurse would say, is my wife sitting there you know, going into labor. Oh, will you bring this down to floor one for me? And I'm, you know, bring it down for when I come back up. It's the head nurse. And my wife goes, she was asking me about, you know, do we have money? Are you mean to me? I said, was she talking to that computer there on the wall? I go, yeah. And she comes in. I go, oh, you were doing that to the health department. I said, you know, you didn't tell me and read me my rights that I was in a law enforcement area.
Yeah.
And the lady went from her fake smile, because they're on a power trip about this, to, oh, yeah. But then, you know, years later, I made an even bigger issue out of it. Oh, I don't need to go downstairs. You can ask those questions here.
Right.
So it's like the state cares about women, but the men are bad. That's eugenics. That all comes out of about 100 years ago. With race hygiene courts that the U.S. had. Hitler got all that from us in England,
mm-hmm.
where they sterilized hundreds of thousands of women. Even if you were in the fourth grade, made a B-, they would black, white, they didn't care. They'd take you and sterilize you. They might even just do medical experiments to you until you died. This is all part of our history. They tried to take over once before, but Hitler kind of made them look bad, and they said that, so they went underground. Now they're back. And the average nurse is just a brainwashed, you know, power-tripping person. Who's in their own tyranny. They're forced to take all the shots and everything as well, even though it's not the law. So they're there preying on you, and they get off on the whole secret agent thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to understand, you're in a predatory mode now with InfraGuard and all these groups everywhere.
Yeah.
You have to understand that it's not like you're fearful of them. They're just little mentally ill people following a program. They're little victims.
Yeah.
And you need to use it as a way to wake them up and say, hey, look, I know you're doing this for that program. The number one cause of death in the U.S. now is hospitals. So you want to say I'm a criminal or imply I'm guilty until proven your slave, guilty until you've sucked me dry, guilty until, you know, tyranny wins. It's not guilty until proven innocent now.
Right. No, that's out the door.
I mean, before it was innocent until proven guilty. Then it was guilty until proven innocent. Now it's guilty until we destroy you. Guilty until we dominate you. Mm. And so you need to just let them know, hey, you statistically are more dangerous than anybody. You know how many nurses kill people?
Yeah, probably by accident.
But a lot of them get off on it. Let's talk about you. Mm-hmm. How do I trust you?
Yeah.
Here, let's get a health department program on you. See, we're going to put it back on you. And it's not that all nurses are bad, but they're trying to take them and turn them into these tyrant enforcers.
Sometimes they do it without even knowing, too. I mean,
well, a lot of them are really nice and listeners. And they're like, we're glad you're not injecting your kids. None of us do.
Wow.
You know, we see the kids have seizures after. Oh, wait, the head nurse is coming. Shh.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's a tyranny. They're under a tyranny, and a lot of people go into Stockholm syndrome.
Mm.
Where they're being abused as nurses,
right.
They're being overworked, all this stuff's happening, they're being told to do things that are wrong, they're covering up deaths in the hospitals, and they're up, so a lot of them decide to go ahead and serve it. Well, it's all right what I'm doing.
Mm.
You know, I'm a secret agent now.
Anyways,
so that's what's going on. The whole medical system is a weaponized execution grid.
There's a lawsuit right now. The parents of a young girl, she died, and they're blaming it on the Gardasil vaccine. I'm sure it's one of many.
Oh, hundreds
many,
died.
Many.
The trials of Gardasil.
Yeah.
They know it. And it's a test to say, can we bring out a drug that we know is going to kill people? They couldn't even get it approved. So they had Rick Perry say it's mandated, which doesn't mean forced, but is on the list of state, you know, pushing it, the state health department.
Mm-hmm.
So by him saying government mandate, it gave it vaccine liability protection, gave them immunity to then dump something they knew was killing people in the trials. I mean, that's cold-blooded right there.
Scary.
These are cold-blooded people. Now, are there still some good doctors and nurses that you break your leg, car wreck, they fix you up? Yeah, that's heroic medicine. It's good. But medicine itself has basically been taken over. The last vestiges under government-run healthcare, it's now death panels. You're not going to get treatment. You're going to pay more for it. We're going to screw you. Government's going to decide what you get.
Yeah, that's kind of scary, because if they mandate you have to take a vaccine.
Yeah, I'm ranting. But.
No, it's great. I love it when you rant. This next one actually is from either Jesus or Jesus. I'm not sure, but his username. And he says that, how can people make a change in government, and especially the people that are running it? We've covered this a million times, but it's always, you know, a nice thing to top on. I'd want to know if we can bring back our liberties, sovereignty, and individual freedoms, and the real American dream back to the country. So do you have any ideas? I mean, obviously we've talked about where to start and like what you can do, and you fill us in with all kinds of information here at InfoWars. But
we have to stop underestimating evil, and we have to stop being naive. You may have good people in the system, corporate, government, whatever, that aren't bad themselves, but the directive is malevolent.
Mm-hmm.
It's not malevolent. It is dominating. It is corrupt. It is predatory. It's bad. And so we've got to just say, hey, we don't trust you. We don't like you. We withdraw our consent from you and spread the word.
Yeah.
We got narcotics trafficking, murdering corrupt megabanks, publicly caught shipping in the drugs, running the aircraft, and running white slavery rings. But I mean, you guys are crooks. You guys want to now have federal goons stick their hands down our pants and stick things in our drinks and teach us that we're criminals. It's all about you're guilty, Christy.
Right.
You're a criminal. Government's good. You're bad. Is that clear? You're bad. Government's good. You're bad.
Right.
Government's good. Let's say it together. I'm bad. Government's good. I'm a suspect. Government's above the law.
Of course.
I'm scum. Government's God. I'm a suspect. Government's above the law.
I think otherwise.
Government is God. Government is God.
You guys didn't want to.
Government is God.
Here at InfoWars.
No, but you're learning.
No, yeah. Elusive with the term disability used to describe many different conditions. A good amount of them have absolutely nothing to do with physical handicaps. The UN Disability Treaty is not getting any mainstream press at all. Do you feel that over time the treaty could essentially be used to categorize and label every person on the planet?
Well, no, they're going to list everybody as having a disability and then take your rights away because
you don't fit the mold.
While always acting like they care about people with disabilities so much.
Right.
Oh, we have to do all this for disabilities, but we're not going to take care of old people. We're going to unplug them.
Right.
And we're not, you don't get eye surgery. You're above 60. You don't get knee surgery. It's for the greater good. Once they communalize everything, then they can say they've got to control behavior, like Michelle Obama saying what kids can eat in school and mommies and daddies can't be trusted to pack lunches now all over the country. That's a federal mandate. Didn't just start in Chicago. They always beta test there. You can't trust parents to pack lunch.
Mm.
You don't think in a free country, parents can pack lunches. I mean, my God, Christy.
GMO corn down those kids.
My Lord. I mean, what do you think? Yeah. Mommy, I heard once in America the government didn't give us the food, and I heard once families stayed together. There was a thing called family. That's not true. That's a conspiracy theory.
They took that word out of the dictionary.
We talked to a professor last week who said the family's a tyranny. That's in the textbooks. This is the corporate Borg. They rule. They're here.
Wow.
But take your shots, Christy.
Of course. On it.
Government, yeah.
This government's coming is the next user that asks you. Can anyone? I'm sorry, not government coming. God is coming is the next user. Can anyone?
You got it right.
We've been saying government.
Government is God. God government is coming.
Well,
all state. Oh my God, bureaucrat lordship. fluoride. I'm sorry.
Can anyone tell me why in the world the Illuminati are making China stronger than the U.S.? China said they are preparing to accept any nation to begin accepting the yuan in place of the dollar to buy oil. So.
Well, yeah, China is the model. The deal was made back in the 70s because they'll run over people that protest with steamrollers.
Right.
I mean, here in Land of the Free, they just arrest protesters and people with chalk or people with signs. I mean, no one was ever allowed to protest. That's un-American. But in China, they're even more American, more freedom, where they run over you with steamrollers for no reason.
Yeah.
And they have, each city has 12 to 18 mobile execution vans. Guys, they won't believe it. Type it in. Where if you even protest, they just grab you, choke you, take you in, butcher you, and then rich people fly into China and Japan, Americans, and just get it. And if your kid needs it, they just kill a little kid and sell the organs. So, I mean, this is a really great place where government murders whoever they want. They're the model, Christy, and they can have Foxconn for Apple and Al Gore with the forced abortions inside the factory and suicide nets. It's very liberal and loving. Oh, Al Gore. He's our moral authority, and because that's the model, and by it being an absolute lowest common denominator, it lowers global standard of living to starve and make everyone poor so we can be more easily managed under Agenda 21 and forced austerity. So if we're so poor, we could never struggle against the elite. And that's why China is so loving and liberal and why Al Gore loves the suicide nets. Because, the Apple-controlled factories are the worst because they're liberal, Christy. These are good people.
skip around the net as you jump. Just hope you can jump far enough at that point. All right, Paul JB07, countless government agencies are allocating more power. This power is going to unelected officials with the power to request federal assistance.
Well, look at the name, officials. Since they were used to be servants.
Right.
Public, now it's officials.
Right, officially everything they say is...
And it's official when they say it.
Yeah, of course.
It's like the federal is not federal or a reserve, but it sounds good. It's federal and it's a reserve, damn it.
Very misleading. It's whatever, it's all marketing.
Anti-American? What are you against, steamrollers rolling over people? What's wrong with the UN in India injecting 67,000 kids with live polio on purpose? What's wrong with kids dying or being paralyzed for life?
Yeah.
What kind of extremist are you? I'm going to worship the government right now. In fact, look, let me look at the camera right over there. You have done. Oh, go! You're so good. Oh, and all you with your reflected power trips off the corrupt system. Oh, you're powerful. Oh, TSA, all of you. Oh, you're powerful. Sorry.
Yeah, it's really sad, actually. We make jokes here, but it's definitely very serious.
No, I think it's a great government. I agree with the textbooks they give CPS, and I've shown them from colleges saying the family's a disease. Absolutely. Hell yeah. Look at the television, what it tells us. Families are bad. Freedom's bad.
Right.
Private property's bad. World government's good. Big mega banks exempt and giant jet planes and palaces everywhere. And I live in a 250-foot square foot Agenda 21 box with poison in the water murdering me. Damn it, Christy, these are good people.
That's awesome.
I mean, damn it, I like the New World Order. I realize I've been a conspiracy theorist for not liking it.
Oh, man. Got to change jobs now, Alex.
I mean, what is my problem? I need to sign on to killing those Indian kids, 67,000.
Oh,
just last year, they're killing more right now. That's liberal. Damn it, I'm signed on.
And you know what's really scary is everybody...
Liberal. I'm loving. I'm sorry.
Flu shots. No, you're talking about vaccines?
Oh, hell, which they admit doubles your chances of flu the next year and kills everybody? Good. That's good, too.
Frustrating.
Damn it, it's time to get on board with this.
Yeah. Yes! I know. Every time I see that, I just want to punch the screen. I'm like, what are you talking about?
You just want to fall down and worship them. They're authorities, they're officials, and you're a dirty civilian.
Dirty after taking the vaccine, that's for sure. All right, so we're going to get back to the question.
No, I got
to
worship government right now. Hold on. Go back right now.
We've got to get it out of your system.
Oh, there's a lot of focus on God. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, countless government agencies are allocating more power. So
good.
Yeah.
Read it with officials.
Oh, yeah.
The officials.
The officials. The power.
Oh, the word official. Oh, just even looking at their power makes me feel powerful. I just want to imagine that this is a government boot. Here, Christy.
Oh, no. Here.
Government boots. This is Janet Napolitano's boots that she stomps on freedom, stomps on little kids with, partial birth abortions, world government, steamroller smashing people. And I just want to worship it. Oh, God, I love your power. Oh, government, murder more people. Government, control freak parasites, rule me. Rule me. I just love, it's so good. I just worship every form of parasite. I love ticks and fleas and tapeworms. Okay, I'm gonna stop right now.
No, all right, Paul JB07. This is what happens.
Well, you ask Alex. I mean,
I never know what's gonna happen.
I'm kind of going to the other side.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've done one of these, so it's good. We're getting it all out here.
Is that a little ridiculous, guys?
I liked it. Yeah. All right, so we're going to repeat the question. Don't freak out, Alex. All right. This power is going to unelected officials. Anytime they choose. By this, I am referring to agencies such as EPA with their ambiguous definitions of wetlands and the oppression that is placed on good families for seemingly no reason.
Well, the EPA, you know, take land. There's a puddle on their property they've had 100 years and give it to the bureaucrats to build on it. But give people GMO that makes their organs fail. I love the EPA.
Golly. That French study was very powerful. Those
rats have been given the gift of dying
that
an horrible death. And so have we. What's wrong with it?
Yeah, gift of dying.
Show the rats. Show the French study with the giant GMO rats. Show the gift of Monsanto. In fact, I want to worship Monsanto right now. Oh, Monsanto, thank you for the dioxin you gave all the black people to kill them. Oh, thank you for the Agent Orange. Oh, thank you for buying Searle and getting aspartame that's killed tens of millions, legalized and forced into everything. Oh, thank you, Monsanto, for all the GMO that grows its own pesticides that kills the bugs that we eat it. Thank you, Monsanto, for everything you do. Look at the gift of that little, look.
Oh, yeah, sign me up.
Oh, 70% had their lives cut in half and giant tumors they drug around. Oh, God. Oh, it's so beautiful what Monsanto does.
It's scary. People see this, and they still eat Doritos, and they still eat Cheetos, and they still eat all
because it's good, Christy! They're officials! You are a civilian! Shut up and eat it! God almighty! What is your problem, extremist?
What did I know? What do I know? Yeah, exactly. Government.
What is the problem, damn it?
Tell me what to eat. Tell me what to inject. All right, Noah asked, on July 18th, 1994, North Korea tyrant Kim II Sung died of a heart attack just 3 days before.
Oh, my God, a leader. Oh, my God, a government leader. He died. Oh, my God. I don't even remind me. Oh, God. Oh, God, these questions. I love Kim Jong-un. He's so handsome. And God, he did so much for him. Oh, Chrissy, I can't.
All right. Oh, yeah. Well, good, guys. I think that...
No, keep going. This is please don't talk bad about my leader.
Your leader. Okay. All right. So
I don't want to be anti-government. I get listed as a Homeland Security is a bad guy. I like Kim Jong-il. All government leaders are good. Romans 13, my church says worship government. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm thinking you're already on that list. I'm just going to throw that out there. So essentially he dies of a heart attack.
Oh, my God. My poor little baby.
Secret peace summit with the South Korean president and less than a month after meeting Jimmy Carter. So is this where they agreed to stop his research program? Coincidence?
I just the name Kim Jong-il. I just think of his power, his love. All he did for humanity. Just please, don't be disrespectful of him. I don't know what happened with that. Just another scumbag dad. Anyways, yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, I talk bad about him. Anyways, let's go to the last question now.
All right. Well, this is like the second last question. I saw it's come from Peacemaker, and he says, I saw a documentary film on German TV where they said that they clone animals even in Argentina. The Germans do it too, but they claim to do it only for science, which I don't
believe. Well, it makes it okay.
I'm sure they do it for people to eat, but do you think this is harmful to the human body? What is your review?
Oh, no, they would never.
Cows in America, et cetera.
No. Sure, we're eating cloned food now.
And I apologize, that was a girl user, planning for it.
But I mean, well, that's to even have genders now, they say in Germany. In France is racist.
So my mistake.
Don't say girl.
So it's
say carbon unit to serve global on.
I'm writing that down.
Globalon, the carbon unit that serves Globalon.
All right.
Zombietron. I prepare to merge with the great Globalon. Anyways, Jacobson, are you enjoying the show today?
Got to keep it going here. Got to keep it fresh. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on cloning? Cloning food? I mean, we ever...
Well, it doesn't exist. It's
does to humans.
Or no world government exists either. I think the GMO companies are good people, and they care. They want to help people, Christy.
Of course.
And even though I told people 15 years ago they had cross-species clones, part human, part animal, but what's the big deal with that?
The ear on the back of the mouse and things
like that. Yeah, exactly. There's no sanctity in human life.
Yeah, it's creepy.
That's why they say babies aren't humans. Well, now they're bioethicists saying kill three-year-olds. Mm. Because good people run the government, Christy.
Of course.
So...
I guess you could probably do your own research. It'd be interesting to see future research on cloned animals.
No, we should do a whole issue on clones in the magazine.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Can you imagine those?
By the way, here's products. That. Do some crash commercial plugging. Support the free speech, folks. We sell these at cost in bulk, 10 packs, 20 packs, up to 100 packs. It's a very evil magazine that quotes the elite saying they're poisoning your food and water and planning to kill everybody. You know, they're killing you with soft kills, so you kind of crawl off and die, don't know what kill you. Kind of like you kill rats with delayed poisons. They don't die right there in your house. It's all their admissions, but who cares about facts? You should read this to learn how wonderful it is that they're all killing you. And just how gracious our leaders' plans are. And how scum-filled we are. And how gracious it is that they're killing us slowly so we die slowly.
Right.
Because we deserve to die slowly.
Yeah.
Because we're filth. Like the Fallujah children with 14 times the global rate of birth defects from the DU. I mean, they deserve it, according to the globalists. I mean, I wouldn't agree with that, but I'm scum myself.
Right.
You know, I don't have the higher understanding of, you know, being able to crush little humans. Like, yeah, because I'm not an authority, an official. Anyway, so we get right back to this article. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWars Magazine. You can also sign up for a year and get them delivered to you. The shipping is included in that, so you just order once and 13 issues come to you. And people can support the First Amendment here that'll soon be outlawed, thank God.
Right.
Thank God they're shutting down free speech immediately. I'm sorry. Go
Get
ahead.
Get rid of that. One more thing on the magazine. I am so impressed with those graphics. I mean, you are too. The graphics from those guys is incredible. Like,
well, these are extremists. I mean, they should all be government approved before they could write something that might be anti-government. I mean,
of course, we wouldn't want that.
They need more Prozac, more Ritalin, more GMO.
Yes, and lots of fluoride, lots and lots of it.
Anyway, so...
All right, last question from Benjamin comes to you. He says, hey, Alex, I really want to know what do you think about something that came up at my work. I work for a major Fortune 100 corporation, and recently they decided that they were going to pay to have your blood taken to get a discount, how conveniently, on your health insurance. So the way that they worded it was, get your non-smoker discount. It really reminded me of the TSA slogan, we know you're not a terrorist, now prove it. So the whole thing comes a little...
Yeah, no. They have the Department of Defense goes around, even small businesses, says, give us the urine of your employees to make sure they're not on drugs while they're shipping the drugs in.
What country?
So it's all medicalized.
That? There's a country that tests, like, individual pockets of urine in their country. I think it's, like...
Singapore.
Is it Singapore? Yeah.
No, some others do it.
Yeah.
But the issue is that it's total tyranny. And it's like, if you want a job, you're going to conform. We're going to look at everything in your blood and know now we own your genetics. Just like they've been taking baby's blood for 40 years at birth worldwide and keeping it secret. Now they had to admit it. And you know,
in the name of what, science or research?
No, they use it. Well, they use it for bioweapons development. They also patent your particular proteins and things. And when you go to get a genetic treatment, they go, well, that's not going to be $10,000. It's going to be $1 million. There's actual court cases because we got your blood 37 years ago at birth.
Illegally, yeah.
No. The government, they say we own it. And then the courts are going to rule they do own it. They do whatever they want. I mean, these people are already putting poison in our food and our water because they love us so much.
Right.
Because they're such good people.
What is it, Seattle or Oregon? Is it Seattle? Not, well, Oregon's a state, but Seattle, was it Seattle?
Are you an extremist? You know the names of states?
Well, I don't know.
That's even worse, my God.
But Seattle, wasn't it Seattle like a couple weeks ago that they were protesting about the fluoride and they're doing it anyways in their water?
Well, they've, Seattle? Of course, I mean, the Harvard study admits massive cancer increases in brain damage. Because we need to be brain damaged because the loving government and the mega corporations are good people.
We won't cow down otherwise.
We shouldn't get upset about them killing us.
Well, you're drinking a fluoride. You won't be upset anymore. You'll just hang out. Mine's zombie.
Or you might start licking boots.
Yeah, or you might do that. I don't know. So, what do you
I'll do anything to be serious here at the end.
Yeah.
I'll do anything to try to get through to people out there. Because, I mean, this is real.
Right.
This is happening.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I am a little satirical. Just to illustrate how out of control all this is.
Right.
Hearing them call themselves authorities, it's kind of, and officials, it kind of, it's a little bit of a button with me.
Yeah, it's egotistic.
And of course, 1984 is the boot stomping on the human face forever. That could be the new American flag.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a baby with a boot stomping on it.
A boot stomping, yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, you know. Babies with Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
How do we know it's not with Al-Qaeda?
A little turban and all that. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you all for tuning in, planetinfowars.com. If you go there and you have a question, go to the Ask Alex group. Send in your great questions. Keep them coming. Thank
Chrissy,
you.
Did you know this would happen when you came in here today?
I had absolutely no idea, but it's always a surprise with you. So.
All right, well, let me just add one more thing. Good job, Christy.
Thank you.
Planetinfowars.com. And the Ask Alex section, one of the most popular there.
Absolutely.
There's Christie's on it. We're going to go to break and come back, and I got to get in a more serious mode here. We're going to be talking to Atlas Survival Shelters. We're going to be talking about what type of folks are buying these emergency bomb shelters. We're going to cover that straight ahead. Chris, anything else?
That's it for us. Keep the questions coming and stay active because we're watching. So we're listening.
Like the NSA.
Right. Yeah, but not so creepy. You're not tapping your phone.
Well, government's not. That'll be have to be put in your file. You mean we're watching and listening what they say on Planet InfoWars?
Oh yeah.
That's bad though. That's free association. That's naughty. But the government.
The table here.
But the government spying on us without warrants. That is a good thing.
Right. We love that. But we all volunteer it on our Facebook pages, you know. I mean, they're tracking on people just because they tweet, I'm at the baseball game. So, you know.
Won't it just be better, Christy, when the elite have killed 90% of the world population? I mean, I'm starting to realize that's really trendy.
I'm going to have to get you some skinny jeans and a PBR and some hipster style glasses.
I am a damn hipster. All right, that's it.
All right. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Christy. We'll be right back.
sick of the globalist eugenicist control freaks adding poison to your water and laughing as you get sick and die? Start purifying your water with ProPure. My friends, I've done a lot of research, and the best gravity filter out there, bar none, is ProPure. And it's available discounted at InfoWars.com. Its filters are silver impregnated to prevent bacterial growth. There's no priming required. It's NSF 42 certified. Optional fluoride filters can reduce fluoride up to 95%. Easy to set up and use. Doesn't require electricity. Purify water from lakes, streams, ponds, and wells. This filter system leaves in beneficial minerals, which is key. Save money by not buying bottled water and avoid BPA that leaches from the plastic. ProPure is the best gravity-fed filter out there. It's what my family uses. InfoWars.com already has the lowest price on ProPure. But if you add the promo code WATER at checkout, you get an additional 10% off at InfoWars.com. You can also call to order 888-253-3139.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I want to thank the crew for the earlier news portion of the transmission. Now, this guest was my idea. I'm going to be quite frank with you. I live in Tornado Alley that runs down from the top of the Midwest right down to Austin, Texas, where hundreds of people are killed every year for tornadoes. That's why I started looking into underground shelters. Not because I live in fear, but because I try to live empowered. I don't want to live in fear. I want to live prepared, which is basically the motto of our guest. And so I started researching who's got the best and the longest continually operating underground shelter that I can bury here in the hard dirt of Texas. And they've got all different sizes. So I thought, hey, I'm trying to figure out what I want to get. Why not actually get this guy on the TV show? And he's not a sponsor yet. We hope to get him a sponsor down the road. But I'm literally pretty much sure now. In fact, he's coming to town in a few weeks. I'm going to get one of these. He sold, I guess, thousands of these things, different variants of them, 100 just in the last few years, of different underground shelters. Now, government has underground bunkers. Corporations have them. Switzerland has them for their entire population, stocked with weapons and food for years. The Russians have them. But in the U.S., we spend more on continuity of government than all other governments combined, just like defense. 54% last time I checked, you can pull this up, of all global defense spending. In fact, folks, show a graph of, just showing people, I'm not making that up, of U.S. defense spending share of global defense, U.S. defense spending worldwide average. It's like 54% last time I checked a few months ago. The point is, none of that is for you. I grew up in Dallas, and we'd be in a parking garage, and my dad would say, hey, look, son, it says nuclear fallout shelter. We're supposed to go in here and die during a nuclear war with all the military bases around Dallas. And so, even if there's a 10% chance there'll be a tornado in my area, or a 10% chance it's going to be a bioweapons release, here in Austin, there isn't one. There's two different nuclear reactors, experimental type. So this is the type of issue that we're dealing with. Yeah, and they found a graph there. That's a different breakdown of it. But of a total worldwide spending of 1,735, the United States is 710. So that number's a little less than half from the numbers I've seen. It says 41%. Regardless, the U.S. has the biggest defense budget in the world, and close to half of it, some numbers say more than half. And there's nothing for preparedness. So I got storable food. I got guns. I got ProPure water filters. Because if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, for economic reasons, bioweapons, radiological tornadoes, I've been out at families' houses one time in Lano when a tornado was coming through, and I went down in their old storm cellar that had been built, in the 20s, and there were big old fat, spiders in there. It was leaky. If that tornado was to come by, I didn't feel very secure. So I've looked into these types, even with hard dirt. I'm now ranting about it. I have the guest on here, and I'm ranting. I do that. It's kind of data, download. These are the types that you can just bury, and it's the types that have the escape hatch, all of it. So I thought I would discuss why we believe people should get prepared, and we should talk to the leading guy. He popularized and led the nation. I did a lot of research before I went to this company to create the first steel doors. In fact, you guys have a shot of that, don't you? Or to popularize, the beautiful carved big iron doors that you see on on so many houses. We'll show that to you in a moment. You know, you see those on all the fancy houses. And then he got into being the leader in different types of underground shelters. And so he can basically break this down for us today. He's Ron Hubbard of Atlas Shelters, atlassurvivalshelters.com, hubbardirondoors.com. And he's operation-based in Los Angeles. He's from Texas, servicing the entire nation, 31 years as a steel fabricator, NOMMA award-winning projects. And he is on with us right now. And we should also add, well, it's a side issue. I'll get to a little bit later, that, again, I think this is extremely important. And I'm talking to my wife. She's like, what will the neighbors think? Plus, I live out in the country. But what will the neighbors think when we bury a shelter? Yeah, well, you know what? I don't care what the neighbors think, okay? I'm sick of when there is tornadoes, we don't have a basement in our farmhouse. I'm tired of going to the bathroom. And what's cool about these shelters is these things are luxurious for a low price. But I'm not getting into a pitch here. He's not a sponsor. I just wanted to basically break all this down of why I think we should be prepared. Government's getting prepared and dug in, buying 1.6 billion bullets now. Why are we kooky when we try to buy a few thousand bullets? Ron, I'm ranting here, buddy. Correct me if I'm wrong at any point, because I move fast. I'm teleprompter free. Tell us about yourself, your company, why you got into this, and the real reason I got you on, buttering you up there, talking about your company. I know you won't talk about clients, but I've talked to Joel Skousen and others, and, you know, expert on safe homes and things. The elites, the rich people, the retired CIA agents, they're the ones getting the bunkers, but buried under their house. They don't even want people knowing they've had bunkers. So I want to talk about some of the intel you've got for us on that front.
Well, it's good to be with you, Alex. I appreciate it. You asked how I got into the shelter business. A few years back, some of my friends had concerns about what was going to be coming up in the future, being 2012 and beyond. And the writing was on the wall. And so I started looking around for a shelter for myself, and I went to the few people that there were in the country that were making them. It was pretty much just a hobby for them. There wasn't really anybody established that did it full time other than government contractors that made multi-million dollar shelters for the government. So I wanted a shelter that was comfortable, that wouldn't feel claustrophobic. I looked at the few that were out there, the yahoos that made them. They were characters. They didn't have the skills. You felt like you just might as well bury a pipe and crawl in a pipe. And I said, you know what? That's not what I want. I want a shelter that feels like home, that's comfortable, that's livable, that I could spend any amount of time I want to spend in it. I could use it as a hunting cabin for weekends. So I basically designed the shelter that I have today. And then there were features that I saw that I wanted that they didn't exist. One was an escape tunnel. I didn't want one way in and one way out. I wanted one way in and two ways out. I wanted the second way out to be a secret escape tunnel that was basically hidden yards away from my shelter that I could pop my head up like a gopher. If somebody tried to attack my shelter, I could escape or defend my shelter. The other thing I wanted, that if somebody found my hatch and they knew that I was down there with the shelter, I wanted an airlock between my hatch and my shelter. So what I did is, on my bulkhead, I laser cut a door, and I have a decontamination room between my blast hatch and the door to the shelter. So when you come down the stairs, you enter into, like, basically the garage, into a house. Imagine you walk through your garage door, then you got to open the door to go into the house.
But isn't that really good for security? In case somebody came in, now you've got warning time, plus you can mount cameras and stuff outside.
I do got cameras, and if somebody finds my hatch, I close my door. It was laser cut. It was cut to 1/10/1000ths of an inch. I close it. It should be airtight. So if they drop gasoline, smoke, tear gas, they think they're going to get me out. Well, they've got bad news. What I'm going to do, first, I'm going to go to my VHF radio, which is a shortwave radio that I can call somebody directly. Hopefully, I have one of my prepper buddies that would be in the ground. I'd call them to come help me out and get the guys off my hatch, deal with them. Or I'd wait till nightfall, and I would go ahead and release the sand in my escape hatch, prepare to pop my head up at night and defend myself or escape. So these are two things I really wanted. I just didn't want to be caught underground, smoked out of the ground. I wanted to basically have a shelter that was also a fortress and defendable. And that's what I've achieved, and people really love it.
Now, The deciding factor for me to, I mean, I intend to buy one of these, probably from you. We've just been talking the last few weeks, and you're talking about actually, I guess, coming to town. We'll even film, you know, it being installed. I think about the tornado issue. I mean, I know the whole country doesn't face that, but, I mean, this is a great storm cellar as well. And then, you know, it's also something good to have if you live in the country, hidden away from your house on the back 40, that you can have a lot of your survival goods in, so all your eggs aren't just in your house.
Well, let me explain to you. There's a few different types of shelters. What you're describing as a tornado shelter is what I call a backyard bunker. A lot of people have what's called tornado shelters. Tornadoes come in, they run to the backyard, they go down their tornado passes, they come out. But it's not livable. What I've done is I've made it livable. So you can actually go down there and spend the night in your tornado shelter. My backyard bunker, which is around $30,000, has four beds. It's got a microwave, a TV, a couch, kitchen counters, water. You could go spend the night down there. But it's only 2 feet under the surface. So it's not really considered a blast-proof shelter. It's a good fallout shelter, and it's a good tornado shelter.
Sure. My point is that your bigger bunkers, they can double, though, as a tornado shelter.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, they're what's called an all-hazard shelter. All-hazard meaning tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires, nuclear attack, biological attack, chemical attack, civil unrest, whatever.
Ron, let me just stop you for a moment and ask you this question. You heard my points about our government has the biggest continuity of government underground bunker program in the world. That's not debated. But then the government acts like we're kooky if we get prepared all these years. But suddenly they're saying we should get prepared. Why do you think they're now telling us to get prepared?
Because they're already prepared. Here a year ago, you couldn't even get your hands on the air filtration systems because the government was buying up everything that was on the market. Apparently, they're ready, and they're not buying anything right now. It's apparently people in high places know something that I don't and you don't, because the people that are buying shelters, I don't know if I should say this, but these people are coming to me, and they are wanting shelters, and these are people of power in high positions. And they basically say they want a shelter for their family because the government's not going to cover their family. And
well, you were even breaking down Israel's building a bunch and talking to you about mass producing. Because it's obvious World War III type stuff. Most analysts say the Iran thing, if that happens, there's a good chance it could go into conflict with the Russians. Again, there's so many reasons. But look, you're not doing anything to your clients to just in general areas, because other preparedness people like Joel Skousen has, you know, wrote the best-selling Secure Home book. He won't get into all of it. But he will say, yes, former top FBI, CIA, rich people, they're building entire complexes. They're as if, you know, they're waiting for some calamity. I don't think it's all the 2012 stuff, but tell us about the type of folks that are coming to you and what you think's going on.
Well, I had an astrophysicist come in and get a shelter from me about 6 months ago. And he looked at me and he goes, do you know why you're building all these shelters? And I said, why don't you tell me what you think? Now, this was his theory. He says, you know, every 26,300 years, our solar system basically drifts over to the edge of the galaxy. And when that happens, it causes our sun to get off kilter. It's like a little top that spins perfectly. It will get a little wobbly. And that will cause our sun to emit solar flares and radiation. And that's what he honestly believes. He goes, this isn't a myth. This is just science that happens. And then we go back to normal. Now, we did start getting solar flares about 60 days ago. We had two solar flare showers. I don't think any power went out. But he honestly believes this is what's going to happen. Now, he says zero could happen, or 98% of the people on Earth could die from the radiation. His concern was that would 10 foot of soil be enough dirt to protect him from what's coming?
Well, I was about to say, someone flying basically gets a chest x-ray above 35,000 feet in a standard daytime flight, because there's something like 10 feet of water in the atmosphere from 35,000 feet down to ground zero, down to sea level. And so the radiation is blocked out by that water, but when you're high altitude, you don't have it. Same thing for having dirt. Now, that reportedly gives you, I guess, some shielding from radiation.
24 inches of dirt will protect you from 99% of gamma radiation. So 10 feet of dirt, which is what I put on my deep shelters, is more than enough.
What would you do in Texas? You were telling me that Austin area, I mean, I live outside Austin, is one of the worst areas for that. I mean, what would you do? Just haul in a bunch of dirt and rock and then what, bury it, and then we put trees and stuff over and camouflage it?
Well, Austin's has got a lot of rock there, so we're going to have to blast if we go deep, if we're going to hit rock where you're at. But it depends on what the land is. If you have the land, let's say you have 500 acres and you like to deer hunt, it's nice to take my shelter, put it out there, and make it a second home or cabin. That's why I finish them out so nice. When you look at them, you don't feel like you're in a shelter, and it doesn't look like a shelter. It looks like a manufactured home just buried underground. You got high ceilings, 10 foot from wall to wall. You've got couches, big screen TVs. You got bunk beds. You got a master bedroom, refrigerator, TV. You got everything that a house has, and then some things. The only difference is this house is bomb-proof, and since it's 10 feet underground, you can maintain your climate control. You get below the thermal break. So if you got the land, I try to promote the people to just make the shelters as nice as possible and use them as a second home and cabin, and then let your kids grow up learning survival skills, okay? That way, if the shelter doesn't save this generation's life, maybe it will save the next one, the next one. I tell a story that we buy life insurance. Now, how often do you get to play with your life insurance? Well, I've never played with my life insurance, but these shelters are almost like a life insurance policy that you get to touch and play with. They got a 200-year lifespan. It's not very often that you get to enjoy something that will save your life. But I'll tell you what, the people who get the shelters, this becomes their new hobby. You buy a boat, you take it to the lake, you use it. But when you have a shelter, you got a second home, and you got some peace of mind that you've got a place that you can retreat to in case of any disaster that comes. So you're prepared. People talk about zombies. You know what? Well, you know who a zombie is? Right now, a zombie is you because you don't have a shelter. The people who have shelters are the ones that are calling everybody else a zombie. So if you don't have a shelter, you're basically a zombie. That's considered you're the walking dead.
And well, that's why Homeland Security, I'm sure you saw this 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, is putting out ads now saying get ready for zombie attack. And of course, that's a metaphor for all the welfare folks if society collapses. And that's what I'm really worried about is people ransacking through the countryside, burning and pillaging. How are we going to hide my shelter? I mean, how do you do it? Because I want mine concealed.
It is going to be concealed. No one's going to know it's there except you and the out-of-state person that's going to fly in, dig your hole, and put it in the ground in the middle of the night where nobody knows about it. You asked me a question earlier, what am I concerned of? Well, I'm not so concerned about nuclear missiles flying in, although the people in Israel are. I'm more worried about the guy down the street that's not prepared and has got a double-barrel shotgun that's going to come knocking on my door wanting to get in and take my food. So that's what I'm more worried about. I'm worried about the infrastructure of the country breaking down, the power going out, and the people that are starving, you know, the walking dead coming to try to take what I've prepared for. That's what I'm really worried about. Now, there's a new show. I don't know if we can mention it. It's called Revolution. It just started the other night on TV, and I started watching it. It's basically a story about when the power goes out in the United States, and the show starts 15 years later, and I've been watching it. Now,
yeah, well, let me ask you this. Of course, you can talk about whatever you want, bud. There's no, like, rules or scripting like most media. And of course, I should have added that you've done shipping wars, storage wars. You got a big episode of Doomsday Preppers coming out, a big episode of Decoded, the show I've been on, pretty good show overall compared to most mainstream media. Why do you think this is so hot in media right now? Because government's digging in, and then media is hyping the end of energy, the end of power, when the lights go out, revolution. It's everywhere. What's going on?
Well, somebody sure thinks something's going to happen. I can tell you that. I just hope nothing happens, but if it does, I'm prepared. But, oh, God, let's just hope nothing does happen.
But I was interrupting you about that show, Revolution. Continue.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the show Revolution, nobody has guns. So apparently before the lights go out in the show, the government came and took all the guns. So somehow the Second Amendment has been lost. I know we've kind of lost our First Amendment, the right to free speech, to protest when the Secret Service is present. I just hope we don't lose our right to the Second Amendment. But if people keep going around movie theaters and shooting people, you know, these liberals are going to try to take the guns too. What they should actually do is arm more people in the movie theater so when one of those crazy kooks comes out there with a gun, somebody can pull out the gun and shoot the sucker instead of let him shoot
everything. Well, I agree, Ron. And statistically, mass shootings in the last 20 years are not even up. They just hype the few events that happen like it's the end of the world to demonize our guns. Let's continue breaking down how you would conceal one of these, the different types and variants of shelters you've got. I know we were talking before about some of the bigger units. If I want to get one that you are selling a lot of these right now, but that you are able to scale up. So break that down some more.
All right. The shelters are anywhere from 20 feet to 51 feet. The small ones in the 20, 25 foot range are what we call backyard bunkers. This is for people that don't have land, but they have a backyard. If you got a backyard, you can bury a shelter, okay? But if you got the land, you'll want to go to one of the bigger shelters and make it more like a second home or cabin. Prices, they can vary anywhere from $35,000 to a backyard bunker that is really a very decorated, glorified tornado shelter, up to $86,000 for my 51-foot model, which is 10-foot diameter, 51-foot long. It's called the Retreat. It has a private master bedroom. It's got a big den. It's got a big fancy fireplace. It's got a dinette table. Just like if you ever been into Denny's and you slid in the table, that's where I got the measurements from. So it's got a dinette in it. It's got a desk. It's 4 feet long. It's got a big entertainment center. Then you actually got guest quarters that have a door now that closes off. You have 6 bunk beds. Then you got a private bathroom at the end. So when you walk in the shelter, you're like, this is a bomb shelter. This is nicer than most houses I've been in. Well, this is the standard that I build the shelters to. When you walk in one, I wanted it to have the wow factor, and it does. You don't feel like you're in a bomb shelter. You feel like you're in a big RV, and it's believe it or not, it's fun to be in one. It's not depressing. And I wanted to take...
Well, that's what you want. You don't want to just be down in some little thing with your family for 2 months if nukes go off or the local reactor blows up and they tell you it's safe and healthy for you. Describe the systems, the toilets, how it works, how long you can stay in these, the type of, things that are in it. Because obviously, if something really bad happens, you want to be in a livable space, and that's why I'm looking at your systems.
Well, the upscale shelters, when you walk in them, they immediately on your left, you have what's called a marine grade flushing toilet. They have all the comforts of home, including bathtubs, hot water, master bedroom, private bunks with storage underneath. And what's really neat about my 10-foot diameter shelters is underneath the floor, which you got 3 feet of storage, you can get 55-gallon drums underneath the floor, so you can get enough food for everybody for up to a year underneath the floor. So you're not living in a square box container with boxes of food and water stored everywhere. You're actually living above ground. All the food is underneath your floor, and you don't feel like you're living in a pantry closet. So this is probably one of the most wonderful things about the shelter, that while you're in there, it's not claustrophobic. It's a lot of room. It's very, very spacious. It's very comfortable, and it's very neat. And if anybody gets on my website at atlassurvivalshelters.com, and you take a look at, when you go on the website, click on NBC Shelters, and it'll bring up 6 categories. Click on where it says corrugated pipe are best. A lot of people get on my website, and they don't know how to navigate it, but there's hundreds of pictures of my shelters on the website and how we dig the hole and put them in the ground.
Well, I was about to say, before we did the show today, I was trying to go over the site and get photos and things to show people, and it is labyrinth. I mean, that's what keeps leading me to you, because I've been researching this. My wife is like, man, Europe's imploding, all this stuff's going on. Even if it's a small chance, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. We live 30 minutes outside town, but really, I've talked to experts like Joel Scals, and it's not in the real safe zone, in the real Texas Hill Country. It's on the edge of it. It's pretty close to a major road. It's a smaller piece of property, all we could afford. We could buy a little farm or ranch way out of town, as our real bug out, but then how do I know I could even get there? And it's sad we've got to talk about this point, but The government's gearing up for martial law. What are some of the other people you know that are buying shelters? It's obviously not just because of galactic realignments. I mean, it's military reasons. What are some of the government people and corporate people? What are the reasons they're buying these shelters from you?
They all have their independent reasons, and if you ask six people, I'm going to get six opinions. Some people believe it's the collapse of government. Other people believe that when the power goes down, the nuclear reactors are going to explode. Other people believe terrorists are going to come in. Some believe the Mayan calendar, which is actually, believe it or not, is very few. It's about 5% of people buy into the Mayan calendar deal. But it just so happens that the December 21st date is actually the winter solstice, and that is actually the date that the 26,300-year cycle of our solar system does go over to the edge of our galaxy. I actually Googled it and checked it out. I was like, well, hell, the guy's right. Now it got me scared about that. It's one more thing for me to worry about. But the people who are getting shelters, they're not crazy people. I can tell you that. They're just people that are concerned about their family. They're no crazier than a person who buys life insurance. They just want to make sure that their family is safe and that if anything does happen and the ship hits the sand, that they have a place to retreat. They've got food, they've got water, and they've got that peace of mind. And then they try to get their friends in on it. One thing that I'm promoting right now is these prepper communities. I actually started my first one last month in Arizona, that if you buy a shelter from me and you're basically, if you're in Las Vegas, Los Angeles, or Phoenix, I'll give you 10 acres in my prepper community. I can't tell you where it's at, but it is in Arizona. And then you have like-minded neighbors. Now, that's good to have neighbors because you can have a doctor as a neighbor, you can have a mechanic as a neighbor, you can have an electrician.
And then you're around people that are tuned in and dialed in to what's happening. You know, it's funny, you just said this on air, but I've been thinking this. The reason it'd be good to have one of these shelters buried in a little piece of property I've gotten hidden is also it makes you get focused on the security and preparedness and becomes a focal point to train your children. Obviously, you've got the British military breakdown that they believe society is going to collapse. Guys, type in flash mobs, British government report. That should bring it up. Flash mobs and something British report. The Pentagon's reports, they all say the same thing. I'm not saying all this is going to happen. Government's saying it is, and they're digging in because they're engineering it under Agenda 21. They want the collapse of society to bring in a new dark age of control. I don't want that. I think we're going to stop them. But we need to fight for liberty offensively, I believe, with 70% of our energy. But we should also segue into this is going to happen with 30% of our energy, so we have two plans, not just, hey, we're going to beat these people. Yeah, there it is. Revolution, flash mobs, and brain chips, a grim vision of the future, London Guardian, and it's the British report about total martial law takeover, collapse of society. Go ahead, sir.
You know, one thing I think back on, back in the 60s when everyone was putting these shelters in the ground, you look back now, those people weren't crazy. They were absolutely right. If we would have gone to nuclear war, the only people that would have survived would have been those people who had the shelters. Now they look back now and they go, "Woo, it was close." And I lived during that age, and I was like, "You know what? No one was crazy to build those. We were this close from the Cuban Missile Crisis from going to nuclear war, and those people would have survived."
You know, that's what my realtor friend was telling me. That there's even older nice houses and things in and around Austin where I live that have bunkers from them and you know, even some built in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and that those are going for premiums now.
Yeah, if you can find, I tell people building a house right now, put a bomb shelter in your backyard. It's the ultimate man cave. It's not going to lose value. Matter of fact, it might be the reason that somebody buys the house. You will not lose the value on the shelter. Matter of fact, they have a 200-year lifespan, the ones I'm building, because they're made out of galvanized pipe. They're engineered to go up to 42 feet deep. I haven't had anybody go 42 feet deep yet. But they're engineered to go that deep. But you can't lose a penny on doing a shelter. Matter of fact, the price that they are right now, if anything does happen, the air filtration systems, they come from Switzerland and they come from Israel. Those are the two countries that make the basically the military-authorized air filtration system.
Well, that's the other issue. A lot of these companies I looked at, it's basically death traps. They're fly-by-night. They're not a well-established engineer. I mean, you know, because people keep asking me, where do I get a shelter? You know, we have sponsors approaching us, and I kind of say no because I have to approve something before. So I kind of started my research into this in the last few months, and I just think you're doing a great job there at Atlas Shelters. In the time we've got, in the 5 minutes we've got, sir, any other points or areas you'd like to point out to people?
I'm going to point out that I'm glad you've done some searching. A metal box put in your backyard 2-3 feet underground is not a bomb shelter. There are people that are taking what is considered a tornado shelter, and they're selling them as bomb shelters. What makes a bomb shelter is that you have it's blast-proof, okay? It will meet enough PSI, 8 bars, which is 120 PSI. You want to make sure that the shelter is deep enough and that you have what's considered an NBC air filtration system, okay? And that you have a manual override on your air filtration system. That way you will filter out the nuclear, biological, and chemical agents that are in the air, that if any of those disasters happen, that you can be in your shelter and survive. But a metal box with two air pipes sticking out is not a bomb shelter. It's a tornado shelter. So it's sad, but there has been some of the stuff's been on TV and people promote them as bomb shelters. And, you know, it just, I look at it, I was like, oh my God. And people are buying them. They're saying, oh great, I've got a bomb shelter now. Well, no, what they have is a metal box in their backyard with two air pipes sticking out. That's not a bomb shelter. That's a tornado shelter at best. And it'll save you against a tornado. But let me tell you what. It gets so hot in a shelter. If you don't have the amount of soil on top of you, it will become an oven down there. In Dallas, Austin, it's 106 degrees in the summer. You go down and you're only 2 to 3 feet under the surface. You know how hot it gets down in there? You can't live in the thing. One thing I've learned, deeper is better. Go as deep as you can.
And that's what you were telling me. You're saying, even though it's rock, I'm gonna have to blast, because just piling a bunch of dirt up on it and putting some trees, that'll camouflage it, but then I'm gonna burn up in it. So I guess the answer is blast down to what, 15, 20 feet?
I typically dig a 21 foot hole. I backfill with 12 inches of 3/4 inch crushed rock to create a leach field for the water out of your faucet. I put in the shelter, which is 10 foot diameter. Then I put 10 foot of soil on top of that. Now that 10 foot of soil will be for your gamma radiation and also to keep the shelter cool. The ultimate temperature you want to achieve in your shelter is 65 degrees, which is your constant temperature that's in a wine cellar. So you want to get to where it's 65 in the summer and it's 65 in the winter. Of course, it will vary because you got radiant heat coming off your bodies and from the TV screen in the winter. The metal can get cold and can transfer through the steel, but you want to try to achieve constant temperature down there. In most cases, you need to wear a sweater down there because it gets a little chilly.
Sounds like a great place to go to play poker.
You know what? I mean, you've seen them on the internet. It's probably nicer in your first apartment. Now, I've got some extravagant people that are got me building some really big ones, and I'm not saying they're putting in stripper poles and jacuzzis, but I'm not saying they're doing the same thing as well. So I can pretty much do whatever you want. I mean, if you have a luxurious life above ground, I can give you a luxurious life underground as well, if you got the money to do it. But most of my shelters fall within that $30,000 to $80,000 range, plus the shipping and installation.
Well, okay, how much for installation if you're going to have to blast? I mean, it's limestone behind my house.
Alex, you're getting a big, I don't know. Well, I guess you're kind of letting the cat out of the bag, but, you're getting a pretty big shelter. Typically if I hit what's called sandy loam, which is a soft soil that we can dig in with a Cat 325 excavator, we can dig the hole in a day, day and a half, and put in the rock, and we'd be done in 2 days. If they got a blast, you know, it's probably going to run. Where that type of installation with sandy loam runs about $15,000 with the digging, the rock, and a crane coming in to set the bigger shelters. In your case, you're going to probably add $10,000 or $15,000 more if we're going to have to blast our way all the way to the bottom, or we just won't go as deep as 10 foot of topsoil. We may go down to 8. Usually the thermal break is at or below 7 feet. That's when the soil stays a constant temperature.
Well, my issue is I'm planning to do this. I want to go all the way and just have it done right. I'm not going for luxury, but I am going for it to be big enough to get my family in there. You know, just so it's there. I mean, talk about peace of mind. People are always like, get more life insurance. No. I just want to be secure. My big issue is how do you camouflage the place where the air filtration comes out and stuff like that?
Well, I don't want to give away all the tricks, but typically the air pipe, you got one air pipe in, you got one air pipe out. The air comes in one side, it comes to an air filtration device, and it goes out the other side. There's ways to camouflage. I have artificial trees. In some cases, if I do it in the backyard, I don't want to give away a secret, but I can make one leg be the table base and put a table on top of it. So you look at it, you see a table, but you don't realize the leg underneath that holding the table up is actually the air pipe. And on the other side, I can make it part of a playground. I can make it a barbecue pit. I can disguise them for the backyard story.
Exactly. So you have it's a play set or a merry-go-round or a swing set, but really it's the air snorkel.
If we need to disguise it, yes. Now, out in the middle of the field, the air pipe sticks up 2 feet. It's got a muffler on the top, so somebody walks up, they can't pour gasoline down it. It can't flood out, so if it floods, the water would have to go up above 2 feet. One thing you don't want people to do, if they're thinking about putting a shelter, make sure that they check the 100-year flood stage and that their land is above that, because otherwise you don't want to have a foot of water sitting on top of your shelter. In case you sprout a leak, they could leak inside. The other thing, they want to know where their water table is. You don't want to dig down 10 feet and hit water, okay? You need to find the highest ground where you can dig down 21 feet, and it's not going to backfill with water. Otherwise, you may sprout a leak in the side of your shelter, unless you go with a watertight model, which I do have. But most of the ones I do are the galvanized corrugated pipe. And this is what's a neat thing about this. The shelter that I produce most is the only shelter that has been tested with nuclear bombs. Can you believe that?
Wow. How did that happen?
You're saying, how the hell did you do that? Well, Oak Ridge Laboratories, back in 1948 to 52, they were setting off nuclear bombs out in the Arizona desert. So what they did is they buried galvanized corrugated pipe. And they crawl down in the pipe, they set off the bombs, and they come out. So they actually felt what's called the ground slap, that when the bomb goes off and you see the ripple go out, that the actual galvanized corrugated pipe, it would actually flex with the earth. That's what's neat about it. It will handle the earthquakes. It will handle the ground slap from a nuclear bomb. So it's actually the best material, size, and shape to put in ground for a bomb shelter. Now, not many shelters can claim that, that's actually who invented making the shelters out of the galvanized corrugated pipe. All I did was make them luxurious inside, add a decontamination room, laser cut doors, escape tunnels, and all the comforts of home inside.
AtlasSurvivalShelters.com. I'm researching it. I'm getting into it. So I thought I'd have the man, the leading expert, national television, you name it, here to break it down. Ron, thank you so much for the time. I know we have a graphic with your website and the phone number. We should run that one more time here at the end. I know as soon as the show's over, I'll have 10 more questions, but any other points you'd like to make about this?
We'll be talking in person when I come in there in 2 weeks.
All right, yeah. I look forward to having you in studio for the radio show. Ron, thank you so much for spending time with us, buddy.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate it.
All right, I'll say bye to you right after the show. Hold on one moment. Okay, folks, that is it with Ron Hubbard of Atlas Shelters. He was just joining us, AtlasSurvivalShelters.com. And again, the globalists are all digging in, and you see all this survival stuff on TV. I thought, since I've been talking to this guy on the phone for 30 minutes here, an hour there, he's really nice, spent all this time. He's got a pretty big company. They've got their shelters out front, the different Cabela's around the country. So I mean, he's a pretty big deal. And he was really kind of hard to get on the radio and here on the TV. He'll talk to you plenty, there in person. But we were just glad to be able to get him here on with us today. As I start to investigate this more, certainly I hope that you'll investigate it and tell me what you think about it as well. But this company looks like the best out there, bar none. Well, great job of the crew and great job of the folks doing the news portion earlier. That's it for this Monday edition. Lord willing, I will see you back here tomorrow with InfoWars Nightly News and on the syndicated radio show with the Tuesday edition.